testifying this morning, talking about him and Sister Pepper. They were kind of having problems when their marriage first began, and, you know, looked dicey. And anyway, she got a hold of God and held on, and Brother Pepper later followed in there, and the Lord worked it all out. And I'm thankful that they did follow the Lord, you know, and I thank him for that testimony that he was said several times this morning, something's got to change, you know, and it wasn't the Lord that had to change, it was them, you know, the life they were living, and, you know, they had to line up with what he wanted. And when I preached this same message at the Veterans Center today, and I was picking out songs and really didn't dawn on me till I got ready to sing it, and it went right along with my message, and I can't remember what page it's on. I'm trying to find it. hold to God's unchanging hand. It's page 358. I'm not going to torture you and sing it, but I'm going to read the words to you. It says, time is filled with swift transition, not of earth unmoved can stand. Build your hope on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Hold to God's unchanging hand. And build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Trust in Him who will not leave you, whatsoever years may bring. If by earthly friends forsaken, still more closely to Him cling. And covet not this world's vain riches that so rapidly decay. Seek to gain the heavenly treasures. They will never pass away. When your journey is complete, if to God you have been true, fair and bright the home in glory, your enraptured soul will view. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Aren't you thankful that the Lord doesn't change? I mean, we couldn't ask for a better God. He's everything we need, and He's been so faithful to us. And so big of a blessing. I don't know any way we could improve on what He is. And I like Him just like He is. I want Him as my Lord forever. But, my title tonight is Something's Gotta Change. And you can guess it's not going to be the Lord. It's not going to be His Word. Those are steady. They're faithful. They're always consistent. Well, it has to be us then, you know, because we're not getting along with one another and things not rocking along good, then it's probably on our fault and our problem. First scripture I'm going to go to is 1 John 4:14. Second, find that. 1 John 4:14, for we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. And I'm just going to go to prayer here, and then we'll cover some more scriptures. But let's just all look to the Lord together. Heavenly Father, we are thankful, God, that You are the Savior of our world, Lord. The One that came seeking those that were lost, Lord, had no hope, Lord, without You, Lord. We praise You. We thank You, Lord God, for Your mercy, Your kindness, Your grace, Lord, and God never giving up on us, Lord, just continuing to draw on us, Lord. We thank You, God, for all that You do for us in Jesus' name, Lord. Just have Your way here tonight, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Are you seated? Thank you. Standing. It says, for we have seen to testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. And I've quoted scripture many times out of Acts 4:12. It says, there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. It's only through the Son. You know, we can only have Him as our Savior. There's no other hope than Jesus. And God, Pastor mentioned it this morning, part of my notes says, God is not willing that any should perish. He wants us all to make it. And He's went to great lengths. There's no reason why we shouldn't make it, you know, if we just cooperate with Him and let Him have His way in our life, surrender to Him. In John 3:14, one of these days I'm going to start writing my scriptures down, see if I look them up as I go. One of these days. The kids at the detention center, they get kind of frustrated with me sometimes. I have a whole page of notes, and I'm trying to get them all squeezed in an hour, and I'm going 100 miles an hour, jumping one end of the Bible to the other, and some of them aren't as familiar with it, and they get kind of frustrated, so they just put their Bible down and start listening. But if nothing else, it helps you to find your scriptures a lot faster when you get used to looking them up. John 3:14 says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son to the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. And man has a sin problem all the way back from the Garden of Eden on up, and that's no big surprise to anyone. We all know it. But he doesn't want to leave us that way. He's dealing with hearts, trying to get us to come to his solution to the problem. But he doesn't want to condemn the world. But, if we turn him away, it says we don't believe on him. It's he that believeth not on him is condemned. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So he's our only hope. God doesn't have plan B. This is it. If we don't want to cooperate, then we know what's going to happen later. And I was driving around yesterday and listened to the radio and heard something come across there, grab my attention, and it said, every Christian has a past, and every sinner has a hope. And it reminded me this morning, the pastor, you know, he said they have a past. They weren't right with God at one time. You know, things weren't so good. And we've all been there. There's not a single one of us that hasn't. But every sinner has a hope, and every Christian has a past. So we can look back and see where we were and where God brought us to. And we can thank the Lord. You know, we can just say, thank you, Lord, for working in my life and not just leaving me like I was. And Psalms 33 and 11. Says, the counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations. So his counsel standeth forever. And I told you, he's not going to change. He's going to be consistent, same forever. And Psalms 102:25. It says, of old hast thou laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou shalt endure. Yea, all of them shall wax old like a garment. As a vesture shalt thou change them, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall have no end. So thank the Lord. He has no end. He is not going to change. Praise God. In Hebrews 1, in verse 10. Hope my voice will hold up. I was kind of battling some allergy problems the last couple of days, really bad. And I had to stop Dollar General on the way here this morning, get some Zyrtec. And my throat was just raspy and sneezing and coughing. Hebrews 1 and 10, it says, and thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundations of the earth. The heavens are the works of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest, and they shall wax old as a garment. And as a vesture, thou shalt fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. In Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Praise the Lord. And so something's got to change. We know it's not God, and we are the ones that's got to change. If we're not lining up with His Word, and it says heaven's going to change and earth's going to change, but our Lord's not. And also Matthew 24:35. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. And then we'll flip all the way over to Revelations in 22:18. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. If any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. So we aren't to tamper with God's word and try to change it. There's many new versions out there that claim to be the Bible, which I would disagree with. I mean, I don't think they are the Bible. They're just man's opinion of what the Bible should say, but it's not the inspired word of God that we're reading here tonight. In John 3:3, it says, Jesus answered and said to him, verily, verily I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Verse 5, Jesus answered, verily, verily I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. So we have to have a beginning when we, just like we had physically when we came into this world. The Lord knew us before we even left our mother's womb, and He knows all about us. And we have a physical birth. We also have a spiritual birth. You must be born again. And we celebrate our natural birthday. We ought to celebrate our spiritual birthday too. I never have done it. Didn't think about it, but you know, that'd be a good thing to do. It's something to rejoice about, even more important than our physical birthday. And it doesn't take long once we make our minds up to surrender. In Luke 23:33, Pastor was talking about this morning when he called on the Lord for salvation. He didn't really know exactly what he needed to do. He was just doing the best to ask the Lord to give him whatever he had planned, you know, for him. And find a place here. And when they were come down to the place which is called Calvary, that there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. And I'm going to skip down a few verses. Verse 39, and one of the malefactors which was hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. And the other answered and rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward for our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest to thy kingdom. And Jesus said to him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And wouldn't it be nice, you know, to be born again and a few hours later be in heaven, you know, not have to go through all the trials that we do here. But I don't want to wait till deathbed to do that. You know, we don't know exactly when we're going to go, but it's also a pleasure to serve the Lord, though. I mean, I'm not complaining. I want to do what I can for Him and His kingdom. But it is just this short prayer here. In a moment's prayer, he repented, and the next minute, his whole eternity was changed. He was in a place called heaven instead of the place he was headed for. In 1 Corinthians 15:51, And I got going to heaven on my mind, and you know, we're talking about those singing, those songs about leaving here and going home. But this scripture here talks a little bit about it. It says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump. For the trump shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible. We shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption. This mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is in the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." So it says, "I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed." And so we go to heaven. God's not going to leave us like we are now. He's going to change us before we get there. And it's just like changing for an important meeting you're going to and dressing for the occasion. Well, this God's going to give us a new body here, a glorified body. It says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. It won't take very long for him to get us ready. And I tease my wife sometimes. She can get ready for church in 5 minutes, and it takes me about five times that long. And said, jump the phone booth and get dressed. You know, she can pop in, pop out, and she's ready. But it takes me a little while to get there. But it says, the last trump, for the trump shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption. So we're no longer going to be have that sinful nature about us that we still fight down here. When we get to heaven, there's going to be no devil there to tempt us and draw us away. It says, when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, this mortal shall have put on immortality. So we're going to live forever. Right now, we're just a temporary body. We're just dirt bags. God made us out of dirt. We're just going back to the dirt when he's through with it. And our spirit and our soul is going to live forever. But, you know, he's going to have a better body for us coming than the one that's temporary. It says, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is in the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. There's victory in Jesus. Praise the Lord. He's the one that paid for our salvation, for changing us, and all that he's worked through our lives throughout time. And, you know, there's some changes come quickly in a moment, just like the one we're talking about, you know, gives us a new body. And there's others that are gradual, takes patience and time. And I want to look over to Romans 8:22, and I'm going to come back here. It says, "For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why do he yet hope for? But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it." So we can't see all the way to the end. God just takes us one step at a time, one day at a time, and we grow a little by little, and we walk by faith, and he brings us from glory to glory, and he's working a plan in our life. And pastor was talking this morning how they got saved, but there's still things the Lord had to work in their lives. That's true with all of us. You know, we have a sanctification that's instant. You know, if we were to die that day, we would be going to heaven. We are completely clean. But there is still things in our life. God works through us, trying to get those things out as we go on and mature in him. And Romans 8:29 says, "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. So we're going to be in the image of God. When he created man in the beginning, in the garden there, he said he made man and woman in the image of God. And then sin came on the scene and kind of messed things up. But when we get born again, he's making a new creation out of us again. And then we see here, when he takes us on to heaven, he's going to change us again. It says we'll be made into his image. He said when we see him, we'll be like him. And we'll be take on his nature. And man in the past, all the way up to the present, has tried to change God instead of letting him change them. In Romans 1 and 20, we can look all the way back. Moses was leading the people through the desert there, and he went up on the mountain to get the Ten Commandments. And he comes down, and what are they doing? They're worshiping a golden calf there, and they just broke one of the Ten Commandments he was up there getting from God. And they said, "This be your God," and they were worshiping this golden calf. In Romans 1 and 20, it says, "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even the eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they become fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into image made like unto the corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. This cause God gave them up to vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use of that which is against nature, and likewise the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burn in their lust one towards another, men with men working that which is unseemly, receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was met. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient." And so a reprobate mind is one is depraved and corrupt. God, seeing they got to a point there, he just turned them over to, they were wanting those evil things, he let them have it. And it just sped up their judgment and let them realize they need to repent. But they didn't even like to retain God in their knowledge, it said. And they professed themselves to be wise, they became fools. And we see this going on in our day just like it was all the way back in Sodom and Gomorrah and all the way through history, more or less. And some, it's been more brought out in the open than other times, but God is very displeased with it. And it's not his plan. But it says, because they knew, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. So they pretty much forgot who God was. They just decided to go their own way. And our nation is in sad shape. We don't need anyone to tell us that. I thank the Lord for America. I love my country, and I would serve in the military if it was called upon me to do so. I didn't volunteer to go because this wasn't something I felt like I needed to do in my day. I mean, I didn't want someone telling me what to do every minute, every day. And I don't know, it would have been good to serve my country, but if I was called on to do it, I would be glad to do it. But I thank those that have served for the service for our country that keep us enjoying the freedom that we have and all the privileges, you know. Without all that they have done, we would not be enjoying what we have. It wasn't free. There was a great sacrifice. But in Psalms 9:17, it says, "The wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. And it seems to me as though our nation is headed in that direction. And this next election, if we don't get the right person in there, you know, it could really turn south for us. You know, it could be bad. But I just pray the Lord come before things get too bad. I mean, I don't, I'm willing to endure whatever He says we need to go through for Him. But yet, you know, I'm like Brother Larry, you know, thankful for that dog didn't get a hold of him. And I'm thankful, you know, if we don't have to go through those things, then that would be even better, you know, just go on be with the Lord and not go through seeing our country go down the tubes. But it says, without God leading us and without His protecting hand, we have no hope as a nation. You know, it's because of Him, that sovereign hand of God, that we were brought here to become a nation, you know, fleeing from England, you know, for freedom of religion and to serve the Lord and from persecution. But, you know, I believe God's hand was in it all the way. And He's used this nation mightily to further the gospel around the world. And I'd like to see it continue that way. But in Revelations 3:19 says, many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. And so, down in my footnotes, it says, it is self-sufficient prosperity and worldliness. The church of Laodicea has excluded the Lord Jesus Christ from their congregation. Christ's invitation spoken from outside the door is a request for fellowship with any individual who will repent of and overcome the spiritual lukewarmness of the church. So it's sad to think all that the Lord went through for us, and here He is on the outside asking, you know, to be a part of our life and come in. But we got to welcome Him in. He's not going to force Himself on us. In Psalms 32:9, it says, be ye not as the horse, or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, that he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. Be glad in the Lord, and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, for ye that are upright in heart. So, not to be like the horse or the mule. The mule is known for being stubborn, hard-headed, not wanting to cooperate. We don't want to be like that towards the Lord. It says, many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusts in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. In verse 18 of chapter 33, behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. So we want to put our hope in him. In Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. And I was talking earlier about how we grow little by little in the Lord, and we mature as we go along as a spiritual growth, and we're growing from faith to faith, and the just shall live by faith. Without faith, we can't make it into heaven. Seen something at Mardell's the other day. I can't remember. I was going to pass it on, but I can't remember all this. I'll just let it keep on going. Maybe I'll run into it later. Romans 8:14. One of those senior moments. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. We have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And so we got to be led by the Spirit, the change that needs to come. We can't call the shots. It's like Brother Pepper was saying, a young man at the detention center. I still remember his name, remember his face. I got a letter from him after he got out. He said it was so easy to live for the Lord. You know, all you had to do is let him make the decisions and call the shots, more or less. So we got to learn to follow his leading instead of doing everything on our own and making a mess. In verse 13, right before that, so if we live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. So this part of the changes has got to be made. We can't live like the world and expect to go to heaven. We got to live according to what the Lord wants of us. And we got to have a changed mind, a changed heart. Let him call the shots and just keep following him. And these are the changes that's got to be made in us. And we can't expect the Lord to change to fit our needs, but we got to change to fit what he expects of us. Turn it back to you, Pastor.